Hey, Bill and Gunner, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. And I hope you're well wherever you're listening to this program. And we are broadcasting right across the world via the Yidinji universe and the metaverse and everywhere else that this show is being broadcast. And if you're listening to this outside of our territory, it's probably from via our friends at Bumabipa 98.7 and the National Indigenous Radio Service inside the Commonwealth. And we are going all over the place via the internet, the World Wide Web. And joining me today is Ganyara of Yalmabara and Yirralum Guruminya, who are here today at the studios to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about an old maxim of law, Nemo Dat Quod Non Habet, in particular this story that appeared on the National Indigenous Times. You might be familiar with it. In fact, you might be involved with it. It's the historic Murray-Darling water deal by the traditional owners in the Victorian region. Murray-Darling traditional owners have for the first time been awarded 1.36 gigalitres of water from the Victorian government as part of a state's massive irrigation project connections. Victorian Water Minister Lisa Neville on last week announced all water committed through the project in the Goulburn-Murray Irrigation District could be delivered following the project exceeding its 429 gigalitre water recovery target by 4 gigalitres. They're going to have a bit more water down there if it trickles down from southeast Queensland, for example, and northern New South Wales. Anyway, it goes on to say that the traditional owners here have been, we hope to see this approach become a standard practice moving forward in Victoria. Victorian traditional owners continue to suffer the ongoing impacts as a result of past and ongoing dispossession of water rights, and that couldn't be further from the truth. That was Murray Lower Darling Rivers Indigenous Nations Deputy Chairman Brendan Kennedy. He said the allocation was a significant step forward for the traditional owners there. So it's on the National Indigenous Times website, and it's a good little publication along with the Courier Mail and everything else that reports on Indigenous issues inside the Commonwealth. But as we say on this program, it still is Australian business, and it seems the Victorian government is in control of that water source rather than the traditional owners, Ganyara.
It really is. When you understand this stuff, there's multiple gems in that very statement. You know, dispossession, for example, the inside Victoria. The Aboriginal owners, haven't lost their water. What they done, they actually walked away from their water, their ownership of the water, to try and get some rights as an Australian, as a Victorian, for example, you know, an Aboriginal Victorian.
Did they really walk away from it?
They were encouraged to leave it. I'd want to call it forced assimilation if you want anything else, which is a crime against humanity anyway. They really were encouraged at the point of a gun just about to walk away from their water, to join into Australia. So when you look at all this for what it really is, if you want to join Australia, you're going to be taking part in something that didn't really want you. But remember this, that what you're actually doing by getting water rights based on your skin colour is racist. Why should a Victorian, because their skin is black, get some special right to water which the other mob own? You know, the original owners own this, and you're seen legally through this identity. It's absolutely racist to give some water, and people will hate this, it's racist to give a water allocation, a property right, based on skin colour.
Well, it doesn't make sense that people that don't own it can allocate it to the water to the people that do own it, for example. But it's all about identity. And as we say on this program, the police minister just walked in to this studio. Welcome, Bill and Garden, to the traditional owner. it's like me saying welcome to country to Bumi here. That's how serious this is. But in saying that, Nemo dat quod non habet means in Latin, and it's a maxim of law, by the way, it's a very good one to learn. It means you can't give something that you don't own. And I like to use the Holy Scriptures here. When Satan was tempting Jesus, he said, if you bow down before me, I'm going to give you all this land and everything you can see before me. Jesus is the one who made it. Well, how? That's what he'd be saying. And that's what we're saying. Well, how? Whether for Indigenous water rights or voting rights, whatever it is. You can always go back. I can tell you, well, how you can do it this way. Go back to your law, create your government, your identity, your piece of paper, your office. Then it becomes official to interact with the Commonwealth. And you can direct the state of Victoria. You can direct the Commonwealth. But, you know, it is a hard slog, but you can start that. You know, everyone knows that water down there and the water up here, for example, belongs to the tribal people. That is the pre-1770 tribal nations. Up here, it's Yidhinji or Gugiyalanji or Dhirubal or, you know, all these other ones that exist around the place. The Warangu and the Barbrum, all this stuff, right? We know that that water belongs to them because that was here from a long time ago. And there's a cosmological narrative that can link that creation story, if you like, to the territory and to the resources here. And that's through song and dance and oral histories. And now that has just turned into a paper document now for the Yidhinji. And that's what needs to take place for others, I think, in my view. And it's one thing that people should consider, in my view. Have a look at it. It may not be for everyone, as we say. And look, this is no... We're not here to start arguments. I mean, we know that the traditional owners, if you want to call them that, do own that land and do own the water. If we deny them that sovereignty, we deny ourselves sovereignty. So we're not having a go at any particular group, but what we can say and defend it with honour and integrity is whether you're an Indigenous Australian, a Russian Australian, a Chinese Australian, you do not own that water down there or up here or anywhere else. But Yidhinji is happy to share these things, you know.
And may I say to that, the state of Victoria don't own the water, nor does the Commonwealth of Australia own the water. The water is the property of, it is their personal stuff of the nation, that is the Aboriginal nation there at that time. They are the owners of it. But when you leave your nation, you walk away from it and go and join up to Commonwealth Australia and become a Aboriginal Victorian, for example, you don't own the water. The other mob own the water. And if they've been dispossessed of it, under Article 28, it actually makes it very clear, under Article 28 of the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous Peoples, pay them for everything they've been dispossessed of. Where do you want to be?
Yeah, and Uncle here, Bumi Kalne, he talks about this often, that, you know, Yidhinji shouldn't have to pay for things. And if we do, we pay it with our money, not with Australian money. Yirrkala, it doesn't make sense. We've been trying to highlight this issue about, you know, you just can't give back something that you don't own. And even in the native title, it says that in the determinations. The federal court judge says, I come here today to give you nothing, because they can't give the traditional owners back the land. But, you know, the Victorian government can, you know, designate certain amounts of water for Indigenous Victorians. It just doesn't make sense.
No, and how many different ways can you explain it? You know, like in the break we just had discussing the temptation of money and where it sits and the role it plays in keeping people as Australians or returning to their true identities. And as we keep repeating, that's the only path that actually will give you true wealth and true freedom. Apart from that, you remain slaves to your identification within Australia, whereas you have freedom within your true cultural identities.
Yeah, and the thing is that that Australian personality is your property if you go back to your tribal persona and set up your legal world or realm or your particular legal universe in the true and correct fashion. And the rule of law will support you in that. Anyone who subscribes to the rule of law knows that what is on your territory is subject to your territory's rule. And here, it's Yidhinji. You know, Yidhinji is the boss for Yidhinji, you know. And, you know, if you're somewhere else, it is the boss for you on your country. But you've got to go back to the original source now, and that's the thing. And what do you reckon, Bumi? I think that's a true story.
Yeah. Good morning. Yeah, well, see, like, Now, I see it as an elder for the Yidindji tribe that that I want to say to, give me back them stuff, you know? Give me back them corroboree or language or our home life or our walk or trail walk. And see, Yidindji people, that you can't be there because we've been born that way. We've been born into our family tell us, our mum and dad, they tell us who we are and what we got. See, to the white society now, that they know what they done to us, you know. See, when Gribble came to Yoruba, he even used Howlot, you know, to do the work and for him and cover up, you know. And we can get shifted over there. And my dad didn't want him. He told him to go because he knew what sort of bloke he seen him, like, you know, face to face. Well, action speak, lad. We got our senses, feel, touch and taste and all that. He never see anything in me. He seen problem. You know, he seen things what not going to happen good for the Aboriginal people. And we told him to go. We don't need him. See, today, they haven't put everybody in a community. They haven't put everybody in a community from different community. Okay, so Dad been get everybody together and they had a talk and they never talk good thing, but them talk their right way, you know, right law and freedom and about hunting and that and staying together. But when we start jumping on this word, you know, oh, we should do this sort of thing and we get money, you know. Money been twist everybody. Their way of life. See, we don't want to swear. That's the way they want us to do now, swear and go to money and all this and thing. We go to get a needle. That's their stuff. We had our own stuff on this edge, you know, the Yidindji people. And today that it's a thing that really mucked us up too. But getting back to Yidindji thing, we want to come and have a talk to you, and or you come talk to us and we'll explain things to you about it, you know, how we should go about it. So that's what we want to do. We've got a lot of people coming in, but we want all your lot to come in too, you know. Because all your lot out there, we need you to come in. See, you can still stay in Yoruba, but we know we want to have a talk to you, other Yidindji people, how we going in here, you know. See, if you don't come in, well, you won't know. You come to a meeting, you won't know. You know, it's not sending anybody away from anywhere. It's to tell you about the land, you know, that we won't have it soon because they're just coming through and people want to sell the land off and sell this and do that and then no more money, then no more you too, you know. That's how love goes through the door. And so, like, now the government, they know. They're not even ringing us back even here. Like, they know what we're all about. They hear us on the radio. And they just say no, no all the time, and nothing comes back. They don't even come to our table. We want the police to come to our table. We want the government to come down here. We're not far from them. We're in town. We're in Gimoy. And we want to have a good talk to them because that's, yeah.
Yeah, and that's important too, Kalna. There might be some misinformation out there that Yidindji government is taking over everybody's life or stealing stuff from them, and that's not true. In Australia, you got to line up for lolly from Prime Minister. Here, you walk in the door, we talk to you straight away. And we do things here as a government because this is your government. Doesn't belong to me, doesn't belong to Yirrala Maganyar or anyone else. The elders set this up even before I got involved. So you can't say it's just me making mess or whatever it is, or that person making mess. That's wrong. We've set up this government to look after the future interests for the people and the tribe that's here. Because you might not even know Scott Morrison. You might know, you don't know Warren Ench or whoever it is. You got to go talk to all them people to get something, and then someone else get into government that changes the thing again. And then before you know it, they've been built some big building on your land and kick you out. So that's what I'm saying now. Don't let people give you misinformation about who we are and what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm just was thinking as you were speaking. Then, you know, like, in what other way can a person like myself, you know, I'm not tribal, and so how on earth can I face the truth and identify on the land that I was born on? I was born here, but I was brought here, you know, through other generations from before me. This is not my country, and yet through the Yidinji government and Yidinji nation, I can at least recognise and stand up for that.
Yeah, that's a very important observation then, a comment. Ganyara?
Well, look, probably the biggest thing that people got to understand with this is that it's all about the systems of law. Simple as that. Like Uncle was just saying there about Gribble, he brought along a white fella law. And he actually, he done a lot of the dirty work, or he encouraged Aboriginal people, you know, to do his dirty work on behalf of the government. This here has never been Australian country. It never was, never will be. This is always the country of the Yidinji people. Always has been, always will be. There's no other way to it. But it's a system of law that governs a certain area. And Australia made the fundamental mistake, an absolute flaw of their world, was to leave the original law in place. They should have. And, you know, at the time it was quite possible to declare war on a nation, wipe them out and crush their system of law. And that's what Australia didn't do, nor did the British. They just come here with their law for their people. They didn't even think that the Aboriginal people were smart enough to do a deal with. And that was Cook's orders, was to do a deal when he come here. But he didn't do that. They just moved in, which is all right. We're not going to argue with that, but they left our law intact. And our law is the one that's here first in time. And it's still currently here, which is recognised through numerous native title determinations. Gribble made he showed the colours of Australia, you know, the white Australia. Let's round up the Aboriginal people, the black-skinned people, and put them out the way, give them some little out-the-way place, and we'll keep the best country for ourselves type stuff. You know, this is the Australian mentality. So, yeah, this is just ongoing. It's not only here that happened. It happened everywhere around Australia. But Australia, they ratified and supported the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous Peoples in 2009. And in that it says give back the place to them or pay them for the place, one or the other. The Aboriginal people have a right to assert their self-determination, their autonomy. They have a right to all their resources that they've always had. And, you know, and Yidinji's had a great deal of stuff here. It's got a lot of stuff. We've got all these acknowledged rights to do if you're in the right capacity. But if you want to go and be seen through an Aboriginal Victorian, for example, to get some water right in Victoria to your water that you own in the other world, you know, you're going to actually be losing out all round. You are acknowledged as the owner of the water. If you're the owner of the water, act like the owner of the water. It's your water. You don't have to go and beg the government for, what, one or two gigalitres of water? You know, this is craziness. They should be forming their government. Now, we went down to Yorta Yorta there a few years back. What's that now? 3-4 years ago, something like that. And that we're actually, the Yorta Yorta straddle the Murray, you know, the one they're actually talking about. And I was shocked as to how low the river was then, you know, it was a big way down into the river. I was surprised. I thought the Murray was a big place, you know, but no more. But a treaty in Victoria covers one half of their territory. What about the territory on the New South Wales side, on the northern side of the river? What treaty covers that? There's none. So you're not going to get any satisfaction as in state-based treaties. That's just absolute rubbish and rot. It has to be with the Commonwealth of Australia. And to be doing that, then, you have to be recognised as a sovereign state or a sovereign nation. And the Uluru Statement from the Heart very well says that. The Aboriginals were the first sovereign nations on this continent, and they're still here today, and they still own the place. But if you're seen through your Aboriginal Victorian or your Aboriginal Queenslander, you're a nothing.
Yes, you heard it here on Black Law Tribal Edition. We'll be back after the break.
Dela
Yes, welcome back to the program. Gunyara Yirilim and Bumi in the studio today here at the government headquarters, and every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Sundays you'll find us here pretty much even on a Saturday. 7 days a week we're here. But if you're looking for a visa or citizenship, then Thursdays and Fridays are the best days to come in. But you must make an appointment because we're getting too many people in now and we've got not enough people to handle it here at the moment. But anyway, moving forward from that, Gunyara, the rights of a child is an important thing now. I know that inside the Commonwealth of Australia, there's a lot of Indigenous families that are having their children removed from their family, and sometimes they take them to a non-Indigenous family, like a white fella family or some other family that may not understand the traditions and customs of certain societies and things like that. Now, it is a big business. It's a $1 billion business at least, because those families get paid to look after that child. It always baffled me, why doesn't the government just pay that other family, the original family, the same amount of money to alleviate costs and burden on the families so they can afford food and rent and all that kind of stuff. But that's another issue. That's something for our government to learn from, actually. But anyway, a lot of people come in here into this office because they don't want their children to get jabbed or the vaccination, and they're frightened of certain repercussions in the Australian realm. And, well, we want people to come in here first and foremost because they want to add to the Yirrindji society and the nation and be good actors here through citizenship and things like that. But there's a few things going on at the moment, Gunyara, where we've been asked to stand up for these young ones. And it's a very interesting place to be in because we're hearing it from the children's mouths themselves in this office. They don't want to be vaccinated, and they're telling their side of the story without us influencing them, for example. It's a very different situation to what you might hear out there.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm not anti-vax or I'm not vaccine pro. You know, I'm neutral on the position. I've heard both sides of the argument too, by the way. As you said just the other day there, we were discussing with one concerned child. She didn't want to get vaccinated, which was fair enough. That's her call. Now, you know, she's not stupid. She was getting close to age where they can start to make decisions for their own betterment. That she knew exactly what she wanted. I've also had the other way, where parents didn't want to vaccinate their kids, and the child is saying, "I want to get it." You know, once again, this is that ability to start to make informed decisions. But what people have got to realise is the future consequences of their action. Now, say, for example, that you want to force a child to not be vaccinated. I'm going to force that child. My child is not going to be vaccinated, and something happens. And they do catch the disease, and then there is a legal ramification in 10 years' time. Maybe that child, as it matures, can go back and say, "I want to be vaccinated, and my parents stopped me." Yep. So then that child will then have a standing in court to pursue their parents. You know, you caused this harm to me by enforcing your will upon me, and now look at me. And vice versa. You vaccinated me, and look what happened. You know, you might have an adverse reaction to the vaccine. In 10 years' time, as the child matures and can be legally seen in a court on their own, they can start to pursue people. They might be able to, like in the vaccine, for example, pursue the nurse or the doctor. That, you know, they've got to give informed consent when they're having any medical procedure. And I know that the doctors and nurses, I know this firsthand, the doctors and nurses aren't giving you full knowledge of what the reactions can be, because it's a list a mile long, you know, if you've got to cover everything. They say it's safe and it's great and it's going to be good for you and all this sort of stuff. That's not letting you make an informed decision. And, you know, so we've got to be very, very careful when we enter into this role with children, especially children that have the ability to comprehend. There are people out there that are very intellectually advanced, for example. I've seen children, you know, as young as 6 and 7 year old do many things that just blow me mind. You know, they should be at university at that age. I was only talking to one girl the other day there. She was just she would go up in grades of two or three lots at a time. She wouldn't go from grade one to grade two. She'd go from grade one to grade three or grade three to grade seven. You know, she would just leapfrogging ahead. And she was just mind-blowing. She could understand at probably the age of 10 exactly what's going on in politics and all this sort of stuff. So all children aren't stupid. You know, there's all levels of intelligence. There really is. And this girl here that was in the other day about she didn't want to be vaccinated, she understood exactly. You know, you just have a general conversation with you. She understood exactly what she wanted. It's her choice. It's her body. Who am I as a parent to force upon my children my belief, my opinion, when they know what they want? We have to look after them, feed them, nourish them, you know, make sure they're going to school, that they're healthy, they're looked after, that they've got a good, safe environment to grow up in. And this is where I'm going to hand over to Urlam in a sec, because he's the one that can educate these younger kids. He understands exactly how they think. You know, that we got to respect their position in the world, because they're growing up. They're not stupid people anymore. You know, so you handle kids at a younger age with education. You know, you tell me if they're all stupid or what.
No such thing. Does not exist. And of course, you know, one of the greatest struggles in what the children are facing in their current education models is the introduction too early of information rather than the other way around. You know, children need to find that connection through a really well structured upbringing within family. You know, that is the traditional way, and that's the way we need to see it. You know, you talked earlier before about, you know, the interference of government with the care of children. You know, and Murrumba mentioned that, you know, that's something we can learn from. Well, it's not a government's role. It is truly and solely a cultural area that makes those decisions, and the government abides by it. There's your model. You know, we learn from the cultural ways how children should be looked at, where a child might be put if there is some problems. That's a cultural decision, not a government decision, and we follow that influence, I think. And that's how we do that. And the same with kids in school. You know, it's really about delivering at the right time. You know, all these things that they're enforcing on children way too young actually damages their well-being. And, you know, until the rest of the world understands that the cultural model that has existed here for tens of thousands of years is the correct one, they're going to continue doing that down that wrong path.
Yeah, it's an interesting space. Look, as a Uniondji government, we have requested that the Commonwealth of Australia supply those vaccines for the Uniondji citizens who want them. Now, there are a number of citizens that do want them, and there are a number of government ministers that want, you know, that agree that you know, certain persons should be vaccinated. So, in a speech this year, or recently anyway, I made that very clear. So, we get people coming in here who are anti-vaxxers, are pro-vaxxers, who are saying, look, keep it to yourself, your family, and how you want to deal with your family is your business. We don't need to know that. And don't go and hitting people over the head with your opinions. So I know people who had the vaccination who've died. And I know also that the people out there who know people who didn't get the vaccination who died. So we just don't have that knowledge intimately, which is why Ganyara is saying that that has to be specifically outlined. You know, what child would know what an mRNA is? What does it even stand for? I don't even know what it means, you know. But there has to be that explanation. Why is it beneficial? Because some people say it is medicine, it'll save your life, and other people describe it as a bioweapon. Now, like I said, I'm not an expert on that, and I'm pro-choice. If someone wants a vaccine and they get the information about that, I know people who've had the vaccine and they're alive and well. That's fine. But like I said, there are reports of complications and adverse reactions and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, my point is that the Uniondji Nation here is to protect those who do not want it and to protect those who want it. At this stage, we're in a position to protect those who don't want it because, well, we can do our best with that. But for those who do want it, we can't, because the Australian government has refused to provide the supply. And that is, you know, something that's being dealt with at an international level at the moment. Those people who are in positions of power must know that, you know, They're bringing the world into disrepute and disaffection. If they're saying there's a world pandemic on and they're not supplying your dingy government with the supplies, then what does that say? I'll go get a free one down the road? No. We do it here. We're old enough. We've got our own government. So get over it, you know. But in terms of protecting the children, that is a number one priority for our government. This government has been set up to defend the faith, to protect the territory, to make sure future generations of Yidinji can come into this office and be the chief minister one day, or be the police minister one day. It might be your grandson, it might be your granddaughter, or your cousin, you know. This is the possibility. We take care of our people, we take care of our territory, and we don't have to go asking for lolly from anyone else. So that's the situation there. And, oops, it's a phone going off here. But, yeah, anyway, Bumi, what do you reckon we should... that's the number one thing. I mean, you said your grandfather and father was there protecting everyone with the law and that shield, you know. That's the same thing here we're trying to do.
I say a lot in my bed, or when I'm walking around, or going looking outside, and I got these tree fellows, you know, Murama, Ganja, and Yuralum, that they're very gooey, you know, and that's good. But I can't be like them. But the power that comes out of them is, it's in me when I walk and talking to people, you know. Getting on this mic is a little bit of a thing out there for you lot there. You see, when you know that you know, that's it. It can't come out of you. See, like, I've got a shield and a boomerang from one farmer, and that shield got my granddad named one. There's some film that people have been showing me where granddad used to make these shields. And, now, that shield never gave to Jabugai or any other Aboriginal. This fella called me and said, "This is your granddad's shield, and now I'm alive." So that's something. That's something for the tribe, you know, the Yidinji people, and that I'm still here, you know. And I need this Morrison, Scott Morrison, to come and see the Yidinji people, and I'll take him down to this farm place, this Redlinger. Jenjara, that's that place for Redlink, and or come up here with Gera one day, or wherever he wants to come. I really want to talk to Scott Morrison, and he can bring you who he want to bring. That I'm still alive here, you know, for the Yidinji people. And see, we're talking on this thingy now, with our lot here talking. We're not talking anything out of place, we're talking the truth. We're hitting the nail right on the head here, and then. And that's how I want it. And we need our things back. You know, they belong to us. It's like we talk about this needle now, and some get needles, some don't. That's not our medicine. That belongs to your medicine. And we don't want anything in us belongs to you. We want our own stuff. Where we can talk. See, Gimo is a place. We had to talk only the big fig tree. One fire, we have a talk, you know. And that's how it's going to be. And them things in us, we can't take it out of us. We know our walk of life, you know. Now we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to take this medicine, that medicine. Me and Murumu, wife was talking to 150 doctors one time and about pain, you know. And I mean to say, we went through a lot of pain and we never got the right stuff. But if they leave us alone, we'll be all right, you know. You come here, you go there, you know, and if not, you'll go to jail, you know, and all these sort of stuff come from them, you know. And all these things, I don't like it, you know. They want you to come and eat their rules all the time, and what they got really nothing, you know. There's a lot of building coming up now. We're going to talk about that building up the hospital there, but for heart surgery and all that. And the end of the money or the fair, they said, you'll get paid, you'll get a good money, they'll tell you how much. So what? We don't worry about that. They still think we're stupid, you know? We know that even Richard Moon finished now, but they're saying you'll get the useful all get paid, and guess how much in your pay you'll get? Here we go again. You know, we don't want to hear that. This is our home. This is dingy home, you know?
Exactly right. And I'm going to tell you one story that people may not know. Anyway, there's a tree here where if you use it, you can make them fish float up.
Yeah.
Colin, know what it is. I think in Australia it's called corkwood or something like that. Anyway, you know what? The world owes Yidinji a favour. We saved the world. I can tell you why, because that knowledge went into a medicine. They made a medicine from that plant. And that medicine was used in World War II. And the Allies were planning to cross the place and go into and invade one certain German area. But they were getting seasick all the time, and they were doing these trial runs. That Yidinji indigenous knowledge now went into that medicine to stop them from getting motion sickness. And 156,000 troops, right, made that operation possible, and the Allies won World War II because of that. So how much does the world owe Yidinji now? You know? And that's the story. I've never made that up. That's written in a scientific academic paper. But you may not know that story. So everyone is saying, oh, yeah, you know, we fought for this country. Yeah, you did. And we appreciate that. That's not the problem. The thing is, it needs to be reciprocity. Our knowledge, our land, our resources. We share that knowledge. We share these things. We're not saying go back to England or go back to wherever you're from, China, this, that, and the other. No, we stay here. If you want to make the city and this territory beautiful and great, why not? Have a family here. Keep making this connection here so you can have a connection here, you know? And that's what brother was saying. Yirilami is born on this land here, even though he's from different mob. Same with me. I know where I'm from, but I'm 100% Yidinji right now. Not because of me, because the elders said it and they put their signature to it. One day you'll see that document in a museum. On this day, this fellow can talk for Yidinji. Not for tribal law, I'm talking about government, paper one. I'm very, very careful to talk about that. The other one there, I'll let other people talk about that. This fellow here in front of me, he's a government minister, but also he couldn't change that. He's a tribal man too. So he's the one with knowledge and stuff. But I'm sharing this story because there might be people out there who don't know that story. It's a very beautiful story. And for the Australians out there who revere their Anzac history, and, you know, like I said, a lot of people went over there and they didn't come back. But you didn't just try to help out wherever it can to make things better. And but anyway, we're going to go to a break and we'll come back with some final comments. You're listening to Black Law, Tribal Edition, right across the planet.
Yeah, right. City lights burn my eyes, I can't lie. Reminisce of back home where the starlight shine. Think of a place like mine, where I ease my mind. Right back on country, everything went fine. But in these concrete jungles where I lay my head, I feel blessed with where I am because I could be dead. I stay shooting for the stars but use a different kind of lead. With a different kind of bread, with some different kind of bread. I'm a young black king for my young black kin. Proud of this melanin up under my brown skin. And if we never win, as long as he went in, they say we live in sin, that's the words that they sing. I'm just waiting for the day that I'll be back home and my daughter's all grown, also she can be shown where her ancestors roam and the Gomeroi own and the Mihai flow, that's where I call home.
I'm a long way from my country, it's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away from my country, it's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away.
a long way away. Said I'm a long way away. Yeah, I'm a long way away.
I'm a long way away, but I still feel you in my spirit. You hear it in these lyrics, I ain't one for the gimmicks. I hold it down for my people, I'm hoping all of you feel it. I do this all for a healing, I never try to conceal it. I feel the wind across my arms, the heat on my face. I'm free like a dinner wine, they still trying to get a taste. I'ma stay forever calm, just don't get up in this space. If you do, then I'ma put you in your place. I'm a young black man, I'm Bijigul land. But these Gomeroy hands turn a brick, water, sand. I'ma do this for the fam, I don't think they understand. Everything will go as plan before we go back to the land.
I'm a long way from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky. Run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. Where the red dirt fly across the clear blue sky. Run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away. I'm a long way away. Said I'm a long way away. Yeah, I'm a long way away.
Yes, it's that time again. Unfortunately, you're going to start crying soon because we're leaving. The program's over. But before that, we've got some beautiful final messages. Bumi, what's your message to the mob listening?
Well, the final message from me now, Bumi, come and ring us up or come up and visit us so we can have a talk. But I want to say have a good day today and may God bless you all.
Thanks, Bumi. And the power lies in your original capacity. So you return to that. And as it's been said, the Yidinji government is here to help that process, and it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, you're right with that. And probably the biggest thing is to know who you are. We know we're Yidinji. We'd like to know who you are. That's one thing for sure there. But it's just understanding who you are and your capacity you stand in. And we're not Australians, you know. That water is not Australian water. It's a good place to be.
Yes, and you fellas up in... We've been talking like this for 9 years now. We're getting slack for it. We're going to get a robot here to say it. When you come into the office, you can talk to the robot. And or you can ring up a free number and they can press all the numbers and you've got to talk to a robot there. But seriously, come in and... have a cup of tea if you want. If you want to learn about it, you know, we don't care who you are, where you're from, but if you want to do good things, then we're here to help. You know, so I think that's one of the things. Now we wrapped it up there. The beginning of the show, we talked about you can't give what you don't possess. You know, the Indigenous peoples that are listening to this now, the tribal ones are talking about it now. You got a job to do. You have a job. To do, doesn't matter. You've never been in university. Don't worry about that. There's you've got plenty of knowledge, and you've got plenty of knowledge that's been handed down to your family as well. And you've got a responsibility now. You need to step up. You know, if that's something that has been calling you or whatnot, then maybe this is for you. You know, for Bummer that has been listening to the show here on Yidinji territory, I'm talking about bloodline hereditary. You need to come in and have a look as well. Because this is about your future, and even though you may not be ready right now, you should come and learn about it, because in a few years' time, I won't be here, or you know, Bumi won't be here, or Ganyara, Yirilam, you know, it'll be you fellas running the shop. So just have a think about that. I think that's really important. And all the different families out there, you know, start talking up for your land and your territory. And do it in both realms if you've got both personalities, you know. You know, we're here to build this government for you fellas, but at the end of the day, talk it up too if you're living in Australia, you know. Talk about the Yidinji rights and the tribal rights as well while you're there. But you can always come home, all right? God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to this program. I truly mean that in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ the Messiah. We'll catch you next week. Stay safe.
Break a dog.